going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteclinic.com. That's mensteclinic.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Don't ask what I was saying 10 seconds ago.
Don't.
877-881-1053. Franklin Franklin Injury Attorney text line if you want to get involved in the conversation. You can also hit us up on YouTube, on Twitch, or tonight at Pluckers Across the DFW. Now, I've been wanting to dive into this for a couple of days. How close do you think NFL teams like really look at mock drafts?
I a lot of times I just feel like they don't.
Okay.
Because they don't want to get in their minds like what a player should be, where the player should be for them.
Ooh, that is interesting.
But I do think that they use it for the opportunity to kind of see in general what some of these guys that they may trust with their information are hearing from other people in the league. That being said, I don't know how many of the guys that put out, how many mock drafts do you think there are?
Oh my God.
I mean, just think like
1,000.
Like,
oh, that's probably low.
Nick Harris. Did you hear Nick Harris this morning when he said, he has 350 on his board.
Wow.
And he said on our air that if you can predict the first person not on his board that's drafted, that's not on his board.
Yeah.
He'll get you tickets to a home game, and I can't remember which one.
Oh, neat.
Go check it out. Go. He put it up on Twitter, and he said, by the way, this does exclude kickers and punters and like that. Don't throw that into the mix.
Oh, boo.
But like, so, you know, there are a lot of mock drafts out there, so who do they trust? You know, like, who would Jerry and their group trust if they're going to use one of these? So I don't know.
Kyle Yeomans. That's definitely.
He's watched 200. He said he finally got to 200 for the first time, and he's really excited about this year's draft coverage.
So I think you guys are, well, first of all, you're going to love our draft coverage right here on 105.3 The Fan.
The show.
I think you're going to love it tonight. I think tomorrow you're going to be like, holy cow, it's so good. Then I think on Saturday you're going to be like, it's embarrassing how much better this is than everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, embarrassed for the other people. Not for me. I work at this station.
Yeah, we're proud of it.
All right. So I think you're going to love this breakdown. So The Athletic did an article about how NFL teams do or do not deal with mock drafts. So let's start with Jason Light with the Bucks. He goes, I mean, I'm a fan. If I wasn't doing this and if I was working in the real world, I would be looking at all of the mock drafts. So like, first of all, he's just starting off like, hey, let me just tell you, since I love football, I look at the mock drafts. So The Athletic talked to 18 teams in the NFL. 15 of the 18 teams said they use mock drafts in varying degrees of their pre-draft process. As for the other three, one NFC general manager said that those who said they didn't are probably lying. Zach Taylor with the Cincinnati Bengals. He said, I've had mock drafts in every draft room I've been in since 2012.
Okay.
And so that goes back to when he was the Miami Dolphins quarterback coach. John Schneider with the Seahawks, Les Snead with the Rams, and Dan Morgan with the Panthers said their analytics department monitors media mock drafts and then inputs them into a database so they can notice the trends. And that's
smart.
Okay.
That's real smart. Trends are important in everything.
I'm with you. When we were just talking earlier about Kelvin Banks and like, he looks like the favorite now to be the number six pick. That is something that you can look at, and he's kind of gone from like, ooh, could he be late teens pick? Oh, maybe would the Cowboys consider him too? Now might he go six? And that's something I'm with you on that, Corey. To see that progression, then you're like, okay, maybe somebody else that we didn't think was going to be on our board is now going to be on our board.
Sometimes it's tough to find. Okay, Dane Brugler, you just mentioned his final mock draft.
Yes.
Which one's the mock draft? You know, like which one's
yeah,
the one?
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess it's the final one, but go back and take those. I would take those and line them up in a database and see how accurate these guys typically are. And I know every year that does typically happen, how accurate they are in these projections.
Yes.
And then I'm probably meeting up with them and having dinner and saying, hey man, let's have a conversation about A, what you're hearing each year. I'd definitely start sending a bottle to some people that are the most accurate to try and get ahead of the game.
And from the 4-6-9, but draft season is lying season.
Absolutely it is.
And that's where I think the media people are interesting. So I'm gonna jump ahead and let's go back to the Panthers. I don't know if you can jump ahead and go back. That didn't really make sense. Whatever, let's keep going. So the Panthers VP of football analytics said they pull from 20 different media members for mock drafts. Two other teams said members of their analytic department feed at least 100 different mock drafts into their databases so they can get like essentially like this is the average draft. This is what we've come up with. And obviously, if you're keyed in on a few specific players, you can look at the trends of, you know, hey, this player looks like he's kind of slid from potentially 8 or 9. Now we're kind of thinking 14 or 15. And so I really like that. But you brought up something, Corey, about maybe not looking at mock drafts because they could be like way off base with what you said. Let's go back to Tampa Bay. We'll take a look at a guy that we have very high on our board and we trust our evaluations. But then if you see every mock has him going into the sixth round, we're like, we know something that everybody else doesn't know. Or maybe every other team in the league feels the same way. And to that person who said it's lying season and they just aren't telling anybody. And he goes, because I didn't tell anybody where our guys are on the board.
Yeah. That's a very valid point there. And that's another thing, too. Some of these mock drafts, Kevin, we've heard over years, this guy does his mock draft based on what he sees.
Yes.
Broadus is very, I see what I see. I'm going to do everything based on that.
Correct.
Some guys do, hey, this is what I'm hearing. Somebody's combine both of them. And, Kevin, that's where when lying season comes into play, hey, man, I can say that I've been feeding this dude information for the last 7 years. But you know what? This year, throwing everybody off, but I'm going to give him some different information. Now that's screwing over the media member. That's not cool. And I think relationships are important there.
What's interesting is some go the other way.
Yeah.
So check this out. One AFC executive said that every general manager in the league has specific relationships with those members of the media.
And we know this.
Yes.
Like we know this from our own histories.
And so that what they will do instead of feeding out information, they will go to those media members and be like, hey, what are you hearing about who's going to go where? And they use that information to go along with it. Now, there's one more thing that has been added to this pretty recently. A new thing. What do you think they're adding to their pre-draft process in addition to mock drafts?
Health?
Betting odds.
Betting odds.
So in the last few years, betting odds have taken up a pretty high standard in the analytics department. So they'll feed in the betting odds as well as the mock drafts. And they're like, this is what the insiders are hearing. This is what the people who are putting their money on it are hearing. And then we go back again to the Ravens. He goes, every once in a while, I wonder, why are we using these mock drafts? Maybe it helps you in the second round, though, because you want to pick one player over another. And then you look at the mock drafts and you're like, oh, this guy pretty consistently has been going in the top 60. So we can't wait for the third round to pick him. And we need to pick that guy now instead of the other guy who's got a better opportunity to slide into the third.
That right there is because when we talk, when Brada says don't window dress your board. If you're not window dressing your board, then you don't need any of this other stuff, right? My board is what my board is. Yeah. I'm just picking the players that I've told myself to pick at these spots.
Which is what Tampa Bay seems to have gone with.
But then the next level of, okay, I kind of would like a good idea of what these guys might do here because that can help me make my decision two picks ahead of time so I can go ahead and start getting on the phones with other people and start making a decision there. There's really good uses for these things. It is a lot of gamble to be right about it and know that they're right about what they're hearing, though.
Now, I wanted to add one more part to this that is not necessarily about mock drafts, but how the interview process has changed. So Jay Glazer brought this up, I believe, yesterday, but his reasoning behind it is what caught my fascination.
Yep.
So you mentioned it, injury concerns, character concerns. Like I get all of that. But the third category that's really been added, he says this year, I bet it's like the last year or two, does the player love football?
Which was a big deal. With Dez?
Yes.
Remember, it was a big deal. Like, that's what they just kept saying about it. He loves football. That was the biggest factor with Dez Bryant. It was a big deal. When they brought character to the table with Jason Garrett teams, that was part of, he loves football. That's part of character for Jason Garrett.
Yes.
Was these guys, how much do, and I brought this up yesterday too, how much do I have to coach them and go grab them and tell them to come to practice? How much do I have to motivate them as opposed to them waking up every morning saying that they're going to go be great on their own?
Now, why do you think that would become a bigger issue as we go along? You're right. It was all, I don't want to pretend like for the first time ever.
This recently is because of the NIL.
Because of the NIL money. Because the way it used to be, certainly at Texas A&M, where we would never attempt to pay players or buy them golden cars.
Y'all literally did that with Eric Dickerson.
I don't even know what you're talking about, and there's no one on the station that can back that up.
Broadus has literally said his dad was the bag man.
All right, well, go see him at the Plano Pluckers, and he'll tell you all about how we tried to cheat the system and still couldn't win an effing national
title. I like this conversation a lot, Kevin.
But it's interesting because in the before times, like, let's just go off of the idea maybe somebody kicked you a payment under the table or whatever, and that's all fine and well. But you went to the NFL and you're like, I'm going to play because this is going to be my trade. This is going to be how I make my money.
Yep.
But then you look at somebody like Carson Beck, who admittedly had a disappointing season. And he bounced over to, now I'm going to go play at Miami. And what did they give him? Like $4 million? I'm not saying that players wouldn't still want to go into the draft and get that second contract. I'm not saying any of that. But if you were Carson Beck before, and maybe you eventually got kicked around $150,000 versus Carson Beck now, who probably will go into the draft having at least, what, $8 to $10 million in already realized earnings. That changes a lot about how you feel like you may or may not be forced to play football.
Okay. Andrew Luck is another example, not necessarily with the NIL money, but he realized at some point, do I really want to put my body through this?
Yeah.
Do I really physically? Yeah. How many guys have we seen that are like, I got to take care of my brain?
For sure.
Do I really have to do this? And now I had a note on this for, I think, last week, Kevin, this discussion kind of at a different level. This might be an opportunity for people to go into college with the amount of money that's there and say to themselves, I'm going to play here. I never plan on playing in the NFL.
Yeah.
Because I can make $4 million in college.
Yep.
That's a nice little egg to start whatever business I want to start.
For sure.
I get my degree in whatever I really want to pursue. But if they love football, they're going to follow that. A lot of people love football because of the money that it can provide. Other people are like, I know I'm Travis Frederick. Hey, I know I'm a smart guy. I have money. I can do other things. I don't need to continue doing this to my body and be part of this in order to be successful. There are lots of opportunities for people. And I've started to wonder how much the NFL is going to look at that and start going, man, how they're going to adjust to it. Will they start going, we got to figure out a way for the college level to not be able to use this money or what?
Do you think it's not going to be until they start seeing people drop out that they really wanted? Like maybe you'll lose, like, I don't know.
And Andrew Luck here and there.
Yeah, exactly. But when all of a sudden you see, like, let's just use this for an example. Let's say Ashton Gentry like really got all of the money at Boise State, or he ended up going somewhere else. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to skip the draft. Yep. Like, I'm done with football.
I appreciate it.
Then all of a sudden, I feel like the NFL would be like, hold on, what?
My dream has always been to open multiple daycares.
Yeah. I just want that as a drop. I don't know why it could come in
you
handy.
You agreed with me at the end
yeah,
of it.
No,
so.
Look, I have worked at daycares.
And a lot of these guys, they use their platforms the right way. A lot of guys, they start their foundations. They use their platforms for good things. I appreciate that too. And there is.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's a lot of money that you can use that for. Some people are like, I'm using it to buy myself a cool house. That's pretty much it. But
nothing wrong with that either.
The amount of money that is going into, what did we see, about $40 million salaries.
For one team.
For one roster. That amount of money can do a lot for a lot of people at the collegiate level. And again, they're there to get their education, is what we're told. So might as well take advantage of that and then have yourself set for when you're done.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we can go through some positive Rangers thus far. We'll go back to the Stars' huge overtime win last night. But also, it's time. What are the beat writers saying? And what is your official prediction for the Cowboys' first round pick tonight? 877-881-1053. Let us know. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Fafita on third and five. Likely a free play right here on the offsides. He's going to chuck it downfield. Look at end zone. Got his man, McMillan. That's a score. Touchdown, Arizona.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Our path to the draft. It's weird. It feels like it's almost concluded, but really it's just starting. Brought to you by Pluckers. We'll be at all the Pluckers across the DFW tonight.
I loved yesterday when Broadus on G-Bag was... I had to tell people he's on G-Bag.
Yes,
but
I'm familiar.
He was like, I'm just ready to get done with get it started.
I get it.
I'm done talking on the phone to people. I'm done trying to get information. He's already watched all the players.
Yes.
I'm done with all this. Can we just get this thing started? And I'll be honest, Kevin, right up until 7 o'clock, the anticipation of all these Pluckers is going to be, everybody's going to be, oh my gosh, what's happening here? What news is breaking right now? It's always fun.
Agreed. So now is the time. Give us your official Cowboys first round pick selection or prediction from the 469. I appreciate the work that went into this. Official Cowboys prediction. They trade with Kansas City. Cowboys give the 12th pick and a 5. The Chiefs get the third, give the 31st pick a 3rd and a 4th. And they were like, what do you think? Do you like the trade value? I do not like the trade value.
I wouldn't want to give up a 5.
Well, even if you didn't give up a 5, you're not getting equivalent trade value, although they did make note, and we've talked about this all along, that the trade value is lower than normally would be expected just because not a lot of people might want to trade up on this. If I'm going to go from 12 to 31, I have to get their second round pick.
Okay.
Like that.
And 31 actually does feel too far back to get what I want.
For sure. And like, maybe you don't do it either way, but for me, if you're dropping from 12 to 31 and you're not giving me either next year's first or this year's second, that's a non-starter for me. Unless for some reason the Cowboys really do think that players 11 through 40 are all exactly the same, then maybe. But they did. I thought it was a very well thought out idea. I am going to pass on that.
I feel like just kind of looking at it and my feeling is there might be around 5 players the Cowboys like.
Okay.
At 12. So there might be about five is what I'm shooting for. So I'm willing to go three, four, five spots back. And that's about as far as I really want to go.
Okay.
And I don't know what Dolphins, Colts, Falcons, Cardinals, Bengals might need.
Yeah.
But I know that I can ask Zach Wolchuk and he will tell me a list of things.
Yeah.
So if I do that, and I don't know, Kevin, is it just a swap at those at within those five or can I get something else in addition? But my prediction then would be I'm dropping back in that range.
You can pick up a third for that. You really can.
I know they like Golden, who adds speed to a team that lacks a lot of speed. But I like Egbuka so much.
Okay.
That I would be willing to be in that range. Maybe even, I don't know, like, let's say that at 20, the Broncos want to move up.
Yeah.
And I'd be willing to go back to 20 if I think I can get Egbuka back there. So I like him so much that I'd be willing to fall back that far. That's my prediction, Kevin. It's mostly my heart.
Yeah.
Because I think the Cowboys have a number of players that they'd be willing to take a few spots back.
From the 469, my prediction is Jerry Jones steals all the draft headlines by taking Shedeur Sanders at pick 12.
He doesn't need to.
I agree, but I'll tell you this. I believe this with all my heart and brain. I think that would get more attention than Cam Ward going number one. And like that has nothing to do with a football move worthiness of it. But if you combine Deion and Jerry again, and realistically, that's what you're doing. That's what people will picture it as. That will be talked about more than any other move across the draft. I don't necessarily think it's going to happen. But from the 469, I need Tet at pick number 12. Things are starting to move closer to that direction. Now, remember, we had said there had been rumblings that maybe Tet could go as high as pick number 6.
Yep.
So I wanted to run through this with you real quick. This is the NFL Nation's mock draft based on what the beat reporters say. And so, like, you still have to abide by this person's on the board, this person's not. But I feel like the beat reporters usually pretty plugged in. And so Ward number 1, Hunter 2, Abdul Carter 3. I feel like we all feel pretty solid about that. Will Campbell at 4, Ashton Jeanty at 5. Now, this one had Membu at 6 and Banks at 7. I now think you can probably swap that around. But my point is the betting odds have those first 7 and you don't see any wide receiver taken off the board. So you're getting closer. And the thought all along has been that Walker would go to Carolina at pick 8. So all I'm saying is now all of a sudden you're at pick 9. And so you're closer.
Yep.
You're not there, but you're closer than it at 6 if people are like, hey, I think Tet might go off the board. So if you're like a Tet McMillan or bust guy, I think there's a shot tonight.
And that's what I love about having a collection of 5 players that I value evenly.
For sure.
That, you know, and I think you're the same way with this. If I got this, I can get more value. Like I love having those options by the time I get to 9 where I'm like, man, still I got a bunch of players on the board that I can work something with, or I can feel comfortable taking the dude.
Yeah.
And saying we liked him all along. We're happy he's there, but I don't have to reach for anything. I don't have to go get anything that I enforce myself to do something I don't want to do.
So I think that is an amazing point because, like, let's say your group of 5 starts with Tet, Booker, Golden. Maybe you really love Will Johnson, and we'll throw in Egbuka, your wide receiver. All right. So if that's your group of 5, and let's say you have them almost exactly the same, you've gotten to pick 9 and none of them are off the board. All right, we'll just use the simple counting numbers as Sean and RJ would tell me to do and say 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. All right, we can afford without question to move a pick back. Now, that all depends on if like Miami would want to move up. But every time you go another pick further, you could find yourself right before. So at pick number 11, and all of a sudden you might be sitting there comfortably and being like, I can go back to 15, no problem, because it is literally impossible for me to not get one of the players they want. And so that's where picks 16, 17, and 18 make it really fun because you're like, all right, I'm going to get a third for this. but I'm at least taking a statistical chance that I miss out on all of the players that I want.
Yeah, and here's another thing, too. Making a trade, there's a lot of trust in making trades.
Sure.
Because you're trusting that they're telling you the truth.
That's for when,
and that they're not going to snag the dude that you're like, dadgummit, that's what I was hoping to do here.
Although sometimes those trades are contingent on,
yeah,
you have to tell me who you're going to pick. And you're right. I think if it gets that far, people fall into line.
But the other thing too, when these conversations are going about, not just a your pick, but other picks, that's where you say scouts, not just player scouts. These scouts talk to each other.
For sure.
And knowing that your scout is talking to other scouts and he knows what those scouts are liking and what... Those guys, you may go to that scout and go, hey, I need you to give a call to Kansas City real quick and see what, you know, whoever their scout is that you talk to, I need to know what they're thinking right now. That this network of scouts and conversations and GMs, it's so much broader than just Jerry Jones talking to one owner.
Yeah.
It's a lot of different conversations happening in a lot of different areas. And you got to decipher what the misinformation is. What's the real news and what's the not real news?
Yes. Yeah. I like the way that you did that. Now, just for people's interest, if you're curious how the rest of the beat reporter mock draft went, Mason Graham is at 9, Tyler Warren at 10, Williams.
I'd take Mason Graham in a heartbeat if he was there, by the way.
I knew that you would. And Mikel Williams goes at pick 11. I was like, where was that?
Yeah.
And so that means Todd Archer at pick 12 has the Cowboys going with Tet McMillan. I just saw somebody throw up and maybe, no.
That was gross. That was pretty gross.
You know what? Earlier today, somebody said Kevin's math, 10 of 10. Kevin's grammar, 1 of 10.
I always thought you had good grammar.
Today is better than it was yesterday. What I was going to say, throw out the idea, and instead I said throw up, and then I quit talking. Really botched that. But that Albert Breer was saying Gray Zabel, the guard out of North Dakota State. And what I'd be really fascinated by is how people feel if that was the selection as opposed to like Tyler Booker. Because Tyler Booker, it feels like he's come up. There are other people who think Booker and Zabel probably are both picks worthy in the 20s and not now. But it would be interesting if they took Zabel. I think that's somebody who we've discussed. You can put immediately into play. I'm curious what people think about the value judgment between Zabel and Booker.
I absolutely. From the 817, is Seattle still taking Bo Callahan? Kevin, have you checked in on Bo Callahan lately to see where he's landing? Or
I'm not going to do that.
What's that?
I'm not doing that. Is that the one nobody went to his birthday party?
If you haven't watched Draft Day yet today, I mean, everybody should watch it every year. But if you haven't watched it yet today, you need to get started at some point. Just have it on in the background. It should be, it's just like Vacation, you know? It should be every year for Christmas you watch Vacation. Every year for the draft, you should
and
be watching
Draft
Day.
Plots are similarly plausible. And
hopefully, Draft Day 2 is on its way soon.
You know what? I think you're seeing Draft Day 2 play out right now. Did you see that rumbling across social media that there was a group of like 14 skill position players that were going to transfer from Alabama if Jalen Milroe came back?
Whoa, see, I did not.
Yeah, but I don't, the substantiation behind that, I don't think is filled with reputable sources. But obviously, that makes no difference across social media. I cannot tell you how many people that I'm friends with on Facebook posted that Jason Kidd had gotten fired by a fake Shams account. And I was like, you know what? Everybody who did that, they get X'd out and they have to be snoozed for 30 days. I was like, if you're going to put that up there, I'm sorry. You have to go in the snooze bucket for 30 days. Exactly.
Snooze bucket does not sound like a good place. It just doesn't sound.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not a huge fan of that.
Okay,
we'll
workshop.
I like it. It just sounds like a bad place to be.
From the 214, how about the 12th pick for the 18th pick, and you get a third? Then you can maybe pick up a Mecca. And I think that fascinates a lot of people because if you look at the value chart, whether you want to go back to Jimmy's or you want to go back to the updated Rich Hill version, that value works out just about right to make that happen. And if that's the case, then are you interested in taking a closer look at guards? Maybe the Cowboys are going to do that anyway. Or then do you feel more comfortable going with Hampton or do you feel more comfortable going with Corey's guy at receiver? Because you can still make all those picks, and what they'll tell us is we're totally going to pick that guy at 12. Like, I know that's what's going to happen if they trade down. Rest assured, we'll have Steven on tomorrow. That's what he's going to say.
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm really interested in and hopeful that Steven would actually kind of break into the conversation of is, what position did you have two dudes that you really liked, but you didn't know exactly which one you liked the most, and you were able to maybe get both of those guys? Because that pops up. We were able to get an extra pick with this trade, and we liked these two linebackers, but we didn't know which one was going to work out the best for us.
Yes.
However, because of this trade, we were able to get both linebackers. We were able to double dip there.
Yep.
And we were able to add that, and now we feel more comfortable with if something happens to one in training camp, we can go with the other one, and you feel a little stronger there.
I'm with you on that, man. I don't see anything wrong with taking, like, using that third round pick, like you just said, and doubling up. And you're like, okay, well, do you think now we have too many linebackers or offensive linemen or whatever the case might be?
That's the league, baby.
Yeah, that's the point. They're going to compete for the 972. I say we stay at 10, but I believe we will take Golden regardless of which receivers are available. Man.
He adds, again, he has an element of speed that the Cowboys offense doesn't have. They don't have an over-the-top. Even with Brandon Cooks, they didn't utilize it right. He does add something that the team doesn't have, and I like that opportunity to use that.
Do you think that, like, Tet's off the board and, like, the usual suspects that you would expect are off the board at 12, that the Cowboys feel comfortable to sit at 12 and take Golden?
I think they would prefer to move and get him, but I think that if all else fails, that they would say yes. I think they feel they like the player. They like both him and Tet and Golden because they're uniquely different players. I think they would be okay with it, but I think they would prefer to get an extra pick and also the player.
From the 318, aren't y'all supposed to call it the player selection
party? It is the player selection party at Pluckers. That's alliteration, people.
Or as Reggie has said, it's the glorified HR meeting. I always thought that was funny. All right. So somebody asked this. Could Dallas give up 12 and say next year's third to move up to 6? Unfortunately, it doesn't necessarily work the same way going up the chain as it does going down the chain, which you can get, right? Like, if you drop from 12 to 18, that's probably going to be looking like a third round pick. If you wanted to move up from 12 to 6 and didn't want to give up any draft capital this year, you'd have to give up your second round pick next year, which I'm guessing probably not a lot of people are keen on. And so as it makes sense, it's going to cost you more to move up than it is going to be to move down, like in terms of proportions than you would think. So unfortunately, that probably wouldn't work. But if you want to bounce up to 6 because you're in love with Banks or whatever, and you want to give up your second next year, I think there's a possibility that that could work. From the 817, Walter Nolan at pick 12, which I know people would have lots of fiery opinions about. If the Cowboys take Walter Nolan, short of taking a quarterback, I feel like that might cause the most disagreement with the opinions. From the 903, Tet or Barron at pick 12 and then trade back to pick up, fascinating, Golden, Luther, or somebody along those lines, or Abuka.
I didn't know that Luther Burden was such a divisive name when it came to loving football.
There are some people who think he's going to fall out of the first round.
And because of loving football. And that's an interesting thought. I just didn't know that. When I watch him play, I'm like, man, it looks like he loves it. But, you know, they look like a certain way when they're competing, you know, and then they get off the field, it's completely different.
From the 903, ideal trade back and draft wide receiver, cornerback, offensive line, or defensive line, or running back with the first four picks. You know, Steven said something interesting about that at the pre-draft presser. And I appreciate this level of honesty. We've talked about it. Sometimes I don't always feel like you hit that level. But he said, you want to draft the best player available. But if they're razor close or even, and he goes, then naturally, you're going to take a harder look at the person who is at a position of more need. And that totally makes sense to me. I don't want it to be so far off that you're like, yeah, we had that person 10 picks down. And you're like, well, then that's not the BPA. But if you have them back to back, then I think that is a consideration.
It's like you have a credit card bill and you have a water heater that's broken and you have another payment that you got to make. And you're like, which one matters the most to me right now? The water heater, as long as it's it can work just a little bit longer, I'll keep with it. That credit card bill is going to gain interest, so I need to pay that off first. You understand what I'm saying here, Kevin?
I do. I really thought
you just trying to apply it to real life situations for people who are like, I don't understand what he's talking about.
I really thought you were going to tell me to incorrectly post-date the check or forget to sign it that you sent off to one of the companies for the bills.
Oh, my bad, guys. Can y'all just...
Oh, no.
I'll send another one soon. I'll send another one.
All right. Question that comes up here, and I am very curious what you say. Would you trade up from 12 to 10 if it meant getting Mason Graham? Not going to cost as much as you might
think.
Okay,
tell me how much does it cost?
Well, that's where it gets a little tricky.
You just said it's not going to cost as much as I think.
I know, because in theory, you could definitely make that happen, I think, with a fourth round pick. Here's the deal,
Corey. Just fourth round pick and a one swap?
Yep. Corey, I don't know if you heard this or not. We already traded our fourth round pick for going for bingo with Mingo.
All right. What about a fifth?
Oh.
Can I give you Mingo? Can I interest you in wide receiver Jonathan
Mingo? All right.
Mingo?
Yeah. Would you trade Mingo in 12 for pick 10 to get Mason Graham?
Yep.
You could not say yes to that fast enough. You're like, get the F out of here.
I had to wait for you to get done with that.
You could see. I got four words into that sentence, and his eyes lit up, and he was already ready to say
yes. It's nothing against Jonathan Mingo, I promise. Like, don't know enough about Jonathan Mingo yet, all right? But, B, I like Mason Graham that much, and it's a position that I value a lot more. Do the Cowboys feel that it's that important for them?
Okay, what if I told you... Try like this. What if I told you it's going to cost you pick 12 and your third round pick, but you get back pick 10 and a fifth? So you're moving up two spots and you're losing your third to get a fifth.
Hey, I appreciate this. I might have to go take another call here in a minute, though. See if you can offer me a fourth in return, and I'll get back to you in just a second.
Okay, well, keeping with our tradition, can I offer you our fourth for next year? We really like to get rid of these fourth round picks as quick as possible for luminaries such as Trey Lance and now Jonathan Mingo. So we really like to unload these fourth round picks if possible.
From the 817. Hey, I know I like to troll you sometimes, but you guys do a really good job articulating speculations about the draft. I can't see how anyone does it better overall. Keep killing it, gentlemen. I think you should change the name of the station to 105.3 The Draft in April.
Ooh, I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I get this philosophy as well. The Cowboys don't need to do anything that involves giving up draft picks. They need as much ammunition as they can take. So can I just tell you, I agree with most of that statement. I agree with all of it in the first three rounds.
Okay.
If you tell me the draft compensation, like let's say you hadn't traded for Mingo, and you tell me that like the Cowboys covet Mason Graham. Look, I know. Hey, it's another one from Michigan. I bet the fan base is going to be really stoked about that. But guess what?
A lot of people just mentioning it, they've lost their minds.
Yes. Don't focus on that. But if you told me you would have to give up a fourth round pick for that, I think I would probably do that. I wouldn't give up picks 1, 2, or 3. And I understand if you could trade down and pick up extra picks. I'm okay with trading picks as long as it's out of the third round.
So strongly that since they don't have a fourth, they can't compensate if they don't have, if they miss on a third and they want to do something. And they really do need to hit on these first three because they need that kind of talent on their team.
Yes. Like
their talent is lower than it was the last couple of years.
Look, and I'm going to go back to what we talked about earlier. If the Dak contract, this is simple economics. If the Dak contract you think is $20 million too high, the more draft picks you hit on, the more of that money you make up. You know, like,
yep.
that's the whole beauty of drafting.
No, you're absolutely, dude, that's a really good point.
And that's the whole beauty of drafting a first-round quarterback, right? It's not that the quarterback itself is so good. It's that I just created $40 million in extra salary cap space. Make no mistake about it. That's what it is. And so if you think, like, I don't know what people think Dak should get paid. I know it's going to be like, oh, a dollar. But, like, let's say you think you should get paid $40 million instead of $60. All right, you're at a $20 million deficit. Make that up with hits at wide receiver, defensive end. You'll make that money back.
Thought it was a really interesting take yesterday, too, with Broadus and Woolchuck and Dawson and Chiafalo. G-Bag, if you will.
Yeah, there's a lot of people
on that
show.
That show.
Some shows only need three people.
Kind of the conversation of... kind of the conversation of was the last few years on Will McClay, or was there a disconnect with the coach, the head coach, and what he really wanted and how to best maximize what he wanted? Did he really know, you know, what he was looking for in those players? And so this could be one of those makeup like drafts for, because Schottenheimer sounded like he's like completely invested in this thing and he's going to fight for what he wants and he's going to have a really good relationship with McClay on what they're trying to accomplish. And granted, Dan Quinn hit on things because of his work with Will McClay on draft prospects.
I agree.
And so this might be another unique draft where you see Will McClay hit again like he has in the past and do it well because they have a really good vision of what they want.
I love the sarcasm here, and then we'll get to another realistic one. No trades unless we pick up another blocking wide receiver. Mingo blocked his ass off last year. Okay, from the 972, how about trade back to the Falcons at 15 and we give them our fourth next year and we get their first and a second next year? I think the issue with that is probably more in the realm of a quarterback premium. That's one of the issues with this draft and with Shador starting to slide, not in the same category, but like closer to where Jackson Dart is. In fact, the newest line tonight, Jackson Dart has now become the favorite to be the second quarterback taken. How about that?
So I've kind of been on, yes. I've been on this for a while that I thought that I think that about him. I think he fits with the Giants. I do feel like there might be a tighter connection with Carter and the Giants than there is with Jackson Dart.
Yes.
But I think that Jackson Dart has all the measurables that you're looking for. A lot of people have the questions of how much did Lane Kiffin help Jackson Dart?
Yeah.
And that's another thing. If you're an offensive coordinator or a head coach that knows that you can do the same thing Lane Kiffin just did with this guy, then you're going, this guy's built for the project.
And so the issue with Dart and Sanders kind of sliding down the board and then Milrow and even Shuck like being later is you don't have somebody that you can get that premium for. Like if people were clamoring right here and they're like, if all of a sudden they're turned into a quarterback arms race and you heard rumblings that I'm going to move up to 12 to get Dart, I'm going to move up to 13 to get Sanders, then maybe, because all of a sudden you have a quarterback premium on your pick and you can charge a little bit more for that. By the way, sorry, quick update. You're going to love this. The odds
quick
have...
Jay-Z update?
Oh, I don't have it. No. Yeah, quick Jay-Z story. How interesting was that on Tuesday? You would love this. And I know you've been calling for it for a while. The betting odds have started to shift. Look for the Bears to get that number 5 pick.
You're kidding me.
And it's not done yet, but look for the Bears to get that number 5 pick. And I would be stunned if they didn't pick up Ashton Jeanty.
I would be too, and because that's a huge jump for them, and their head coach / offensive coordinator is a guy that's like, load me up on offense, I'll figure things out on defense, but we're going to score some points and we're going to make some things happen. Good gosh, man, the Bears could be a very dangerous team.
Now the fascination becomes from the 940, and I feel like this could be from Alec. That's not your phone number. Telling you guys, Dart to the Saints at number 9. Look, if that is how it goes, I will 100% give credit where credit's due. And now
Dart will have success if he goes to Kellen Moore.
And think about the fascination that happens right in front of the Cowboys now. And this is where the draft gets super duper fun. Remember how I was just telling you there's no quarterback premium? Well, guess what? The Jags traded down from 5 to 10. if they do, which I think they're going to, if they trade down from 5 to 10, would they be open to trading down again? Because if the Saints take a quarterback at pick 9, you're going to see teams jockeying to get Shador. And so one of two things is going to happen. Could you charge a premium on pick number 12? Maybe. Or here's the other thing that's going to happen. Picks 9 and 10 are players that you had no interest in drafting in Jackson Dart and Shador Sanders. So what does that mean? Well, for Corey specifically, it could mean Mason Graham sliding down the board. But for whoever else, it could be Tet. It could be whoever you want it to be. Those are players that could slide down the board.
Somebody just said from the 214, don't we need to keep all the draft picks for next year for Manning? And I saw this, Kevin.
Hey,
this is a very interesting thought.
It kind of ties back into what we were talking about earlier, too.
Absolutely, it does. Shireen Williams posted earlier today. She was like, do people really think he's just going to play 1 year at Texas?
Yeah.
Like, he sat on the bench for 2 years.
Yeah.
And he's only going to play 1 year at UT. He can make money at Texas.
For sure. Even if he couldn't, they don't need money.
He can make tons of money if that's what he wants.
Yeah.
But he can also be the king of campus at Texas for 2 years where, guys, I don't know if y'all have looked at the Texas campus. It's a
Many
pretty
times.
Good place to be. Like, it's a pretty good place to be if you want to
yes.
be the ruler of the University of Texas. He can live that life without the pressure of the NFL for 2 more years if he wants to.
Yeah.
And can he do 3, maybe? I don't know what his eligibility is.
I think he could because it's
so,
red shirt.
So maybe, Kevin, maybe it's not next year. Maybe we're not holding on to these picks for next year. Maybe we're waiting one more season to really tank this sucker.
Okay. We're going to need to schedule a different segment. That's you know what, Alec? I want to tell you something. I made a mistake in the run sheet today. When I said what would be the worst case scenario for the Cowboys in the draft, what I should have said was, let's really tank out this season. And I could have started trading this pick for that pick. And you're like, we ain't drafting nobody. Or we're like, you know, we might have our second round pick or a fourth round pick. It's kind of the reverse of Mike Ditka, Ricky Williams, where we don't want to get anybody. We want to get rid of our draft picks just so we can stock up for later.
Stock up for later.
I'll see what I can do about that. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
This guy's thought on Shador Sanders. Man, this is a strong take. Next on The Fan.